Well, the thing is that we are getting stronger every day. They might be shutting the doors to us in these elections, but our aim is not just elections. Our struggle is getting stronger. We have showed that we have followed all the legal procedures. We are peace-loving peoples, and we respect the laws and procedures for participation. But despite that, they prohibit our participation. But we get stronger and stronger because our aim is not just to participate in elections. We want to go beyond that, proposing a project for the nation with structural changes, fighting corruption. Corruption is there because there are structural problems. It's a sign of the structural problems. And so we say, we have identified the illness, but we have the medicine, which is our proposal. And we're going to be strengthening our proposal, showing that we too know how to denounce the situation internationally, and that we are able to follow the procedures. This is the path that we're following now.
Guatemalan presidential candidate Thelma Cabrera and her running mate, Jordán Rodas, they have been banned from running for president in Guatemala's June election. Special thanks to Maria Teresena, Charina Nadura, Sam Malkoff, Mike Burke, Robbie Karen, and Charlie Roberts. Oh, and congratulations to my beloved niece, Anna, and Scott on the birth of their son, Hugo Solomon. Welcome to the world, Hugo, and congratulations to his big brother, Miles. From his Kveling Tia, I'm Amy Goodman.
This is KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 33rd Annual Cascade Festival of African Films, starting Friday, February 3rd, until Saturday, March 4th. Screenings will take place every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, bringing live interviews with filmmakers, community conversations, and more. Films will be screened at PCC Cascade, Hollywood Theater, and virtually. Full schedule and location information can be found at africanfilmfestival.org. That's the 33rd Annual Cascade Festival of African Films, happening throughout the month of February in celebration of Black History Month. Full schedule and location information can be found at africanfilmfestival.org.
You're listening to All Thrills, No Frills, Volume 2, KBOO's special programming campaign. Check out all the special programs we're bringing you in February and March at kboo.fm/thrills. Help us reach our goal of $17,000 by March 25th. You can go to kboo.fm/give or text us. Type in KBOO to the number 44321. For the thrill of it all, keep listening.
KBOO.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. My name is Tammy, and with me is the I say alluring too often. The brilliant.
Say it again.
alluring and brilliant and magnificent Althea Billings.
Thank you. It's a lot to live up to this early in the morning, but I'm glad to be here with you, Tammy.
Yes, I'm here. We're here. We said no more snow. No, nothing. We are here.
We weren't here last week, and we're sorry about that. But I didn't want to slide down a hill in my car, and I'm sorry. But we're here now. Most of the snow is gone,
mm-hmm.
And I love that for us.
It's really warm in here.
It is hot in the studio. I didn't get here early enough to like address that and kind of figure out what the situation is.
For the next DJs and all coming up, you know, put a little tank top on or something. It's
yeah.
Nice.
You know the word for it? It's balmy.
It's balmy. I do feel like there's a film on me for sure.
You know, like when you like, if you travel somewhere that's warmer than here and you walk out of the airport and you're like, oh my God.
When you can feel it on you?
Yeah. It's like that.
Woof. I got my bottle of water that I'm not drinking inside the airroom, God forbid. But it keeps me hydrated. Yes.
Good. Well, let's say what the show is.
This is The Gap. Thank you for tuning in.
On KBOO Portland.
A weekly Friday morning talk show where we have a two-parter.
Mm-hmm.
For the first part, we either have interviews with community leaders, activists, just cool people doing cool things around town, or we have a news roundup for the days that we don't have an interview. And then the second part is our community question, where we open up the phone lines to you, the caller, or you, the listener, to become a caller,
mm-hmm.
and answer our community question later down the line about at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, indeed. And before we get into our news roundup for today, spoiler alert, it's a news roundup, we want to make sure that everybody knows KBU is doing All Thrills, No Frills, Volume 2 special programming for the next month and a half or so. We have, like, really cool stuff coming up. I'm really excited. Next Wednesday, International Women's Day, March 8th, 24 hours of women-produced, women-focused programming. You don't want to miss it. And then look ahead to March 16th. We have a multilingual music marathon.
That sounds so fun.
Yeah.
I gotta get myself up in there.
I know. So check out the schedule. There's more things coming through the rest of the month. We're doing special stuff for you all the time. KBOO.fm/thrills if you want to check it all out. Shall we?
That's amazing. Don't forget to go to KBOO.fm/give. Is that still up there?
That's for giving, yeah.
For giving, yeah. Because, I mean, you know, got to support this type of programming. This is amazing.
Give a thrill, get a thrill. They rejected that byline that I suggested.
But. Give a thrill, get a thrill. I like that. That's going to be my personal motto. But here we are getting into our news roundup, like you said. Oh, boy, has a lot happened since we've been... since we last did a news roundup.
Yeah.
Where do you even start? Do you want to start with the out focus and then focus down to local news?
Yeah, let's run through the national stuff quick.
Boom, I think, there it is.
A lot to go through.
Yeah, well, I know that you didn't seem to care too much about me bringing it up, but here, I'm bringing it up anyways. There's people running for president for next year.
What?
And Nikki Haley threw her hat in the ring, as well as there's like a handful of Republican candidates right now, and only Biden for the Democrats. So that was. Oh wait, I think is there another one? Oh yes, there's Maureen Williamson also. But that was really shocking for me for some reason. I think that. Nikki Haley is going to go as an independent. I'm not quite sure, but there is a website, and it's politifact.com, where they have all this, you know, fact-checked 2024 presidential candidate and who's running and on all that stuff just to get all our facts right. So we'll get that in the show notes. But I thought that was interesting. That's just how she's been positioning herself as like a... What's that? There's like the Lincoln Group or something. It's like all the Republicans that were like, we might be Republicans, but we're not, but we don't support Trump.
Yeah.
The Lincoln Foundation or something.
That sounds right, but yeah, something like that. Yeah. I know who you're talking about. Yeah. And yet, I've seen it pointed out that she just continues to refuse to say that, like, if you're just like, hey, here's why you shouldn't re-nominate Trump, he lost.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna lose again because they're still, you know, pinned in by the big lie that the election, we have to act like the election was stolen, even though that is like so deeply to your opponent's advantage, you
right
know?
Yeah,
as opposed to saying he lost, he's a loser, he will not win, people do not like him enough to elect him, you know.
Gotta fan the fan base.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that, and obviously for all the things that are happening in the upcoming election. And it's just March of 2023 today, March 3rd. And here we are already gearing up for the elections, because it's gonna be a doozy, I think.
It's a marathon, not a sprint. And I'll be honest, I thought the marathon started later.
I don't even run marathons. I don't know what the difference talking about marathons and sprints. If you're running, I'm asking who's chasing you. And speaking of chasing, you ready for this segue and pivot?
Okay, I don't know where it's going, so I'm excited.
We are being chased by our history's worst ideas.
Oh,
you ready for this? referring to the Gilbert creator and I always get her name wrong. MTG.
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Every time I say MTG, I don't know what that is.
Who's MTG? I'm Googling it. Who is that?
So Marjorie. Sorry, it's this water. It got me all hopped up. Marjorie Taylor Greene.
It's an airport in Denver.
Hmm. Oh. Denver MTJ. Is the weirdest airport there is.
It's Montrose. Whatever. I'm off track. Sorry. Go ahead. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Dilbert.
Yeah, they're apparently declaring a civil war.
No. Not a civil war.
A national divorce.
Yeah, there you go.
It's like when you don't want to plagiarize, so you just change. Go to synonym.com and try to
get. Yeah, that was before you could get AI to write your papers. You had to go to thesaurus.com and.
And just find synonyms for everything. Yeah, it was really strange. I found this article. It was just from a couple of days ago, and cartoonist. The creator of Dilbert. Sorry, Gilbert.
It's Dilbert. No, you said it right.
No, Dilbert.
It's not like a regular name.
Mm. The cartoon of the office dude.
Yeah, the one that's not funny and never has been.
The creator's name is Scott Smith. Scott Adams. And
you're like coming in from like an alternate timeline where Scott Smith wrote Gilbert the comic and he's not racist.
He went on this really strange it's just so funny. He went on a really strange, like, bizarre tangent talking about how everything is or how black folks are racist and that white people need to move away from them, and he even used like bad language, and it was just so bizarre because it came on the heels of like this really even stranger, I'd say, like survey or something or poll that came out that the question was, is it okay to be white, which is like what
just what kind of question
does that mean, you know? And that could that's such a strange, bizarre way of framing, and I think there's a.
If I can speak briefly to the survey of it all, it's like a dog whistle, essentially. Mm. And so if people say that they agree that like that's the and just to defend the survey takers, yeah, I don't know who they are, but that they're trying to measure something, right?
Yeah,
and
sure.
that is part of like the alt-right pipeline. But then you get pundits saying like, "What do you mean it's not okay? Why would you even ask?" Mm. You know, like turning it into this whole thing that now suddenly you got cartoonists coming out of the woodwork to color Dilbert in a whole new light, huh?
It was bizarre. Also, like, I don't know, it's like at a certain point, like, why do you just, I don't know, go home, you know, go make yourself a hot cup of tea. Like, you don't need to get yourself mixed in this. Like, keep your really, like,
give your main character pupils, you know what I'm saying?
It's really bizarre. And then the fact that on top of it, folks like Elon Musk were also like chiming in, and it was just like, it's this really weird, like, what's a reactionary thing that's happening. And I just thought it was worth mentioning because it was really bizarre. And then also on top of it, I'm going to get it right. Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yep.
There we go. I just think of her as a space laser lady. She was also talking about a national divorce, and it's like, why can't people keep these opinions to themselves? Like, is the ecosystem so, like, we're at a fragile turning point as a society, you know? Right. Like, this is not, I don't know, this is not.
Not to get too useful. Excited about, you know, there used to be decorum in American politics or whatever, not to pat ourselves too hard on the back for that one, but like openly declaring that there should be a civil war, or inviting the idea that Democrats should be discriminated against in terms of losing their right to vote for 5 years if they move to a red state. There's a lot of things like I mean, first of all, it doesn't make sense. Second of all, like, if you agree with any part of the Constitution, you wouldn't say that kind of thing.
That was my question. There's a Constitution. Aren't these folks saying, as a conservative, isn't that in the word of your politic that you're conserving something, you know? And and then, of course, then it's, they're being very clear of what they're trying to conserve, you know, and that's like bigotry and basically like
apartheid behavior, people in a country have two different, you know, scales of rights and what they can do. But, you know, considering they always shout how everything is, you know, the Constitution, like, there's what, it's just very bizarre. It's very reactionary. And it show, do they not, have they not read the book? Basically, they're, like, doing a book report about a book, and I don't think that they read it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a reason that they're like, well, the Declaration of Independence says this. The Declaration of Independence says I could do whatever I want.
Mm.
It's like, well, what if I told you the Declaration of Independence isn't a foundational legal document in this nation? It is sort of like philosophically some of where those ideas first were put to paper in a, you know, in a notable way. But the Constitution, and not even to like get pat myself on the back about like, oh, the Constitution's so good, but like, everybody should be equal. Everybody has the right to vote. What are we confused about that? You know?
And they, and I,
and that these, those basic ideas are so important that there's a very high bar to changing them.
Mm.
As in, you know, trying to get a constitutional amendment. They did that part on purpose. So what, you know,
it's very bizarre. It's very strange. And that's what's happening on the great, on the wider stage of the news sphere, as to say. And yeah, I'm really Scott Adams, this, that one really, I just looked at him and I'm just like, the dude that does the cartoon, like, what? And like, you don't, like, even do political cartoons, you know? Like, what are you, who?
He does like the least funny one on any newspaper's comics page. And I say that including Family Circus, you know? There's a lot of comics that like are very hit or miss. As a child who read the comics every Sunday and like would pretend that I needed to get to the newspaper so I could read the comics and do the puzzles, you know? Dilbert is a skip every time, and he's been doing it for so many years, and to just imagine not ever having one hit. Are there how can there be Dilbert fans who's like, oh my gosh, there's no Dilbert in this week's edition, what's going on? You know, anyway, I don't need to get into the politics of
the
comic page.
Oh, the funnies.
There's
pages.
Too much local stuff happening.
Oh yeah. Do you want to kick it up? We have some audio from some local stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's start with the audio because the audio is fun.
Okay.
To me, it's fun. so let's flash backwards. And here's what I'm saying: we haven't even really gotten to talk about the tent ban.
Ugh. Well, here we are. We're about
Rene Gonzalez's tent ban.
Because I told you, I predicted it in my mind's eye.
Yeah.
I knew the street response was the next thing to go. It was
so Rene Gonzalez, right, head of the Fire Bureau and Street Response now, issued a declaration that there would be no more giving tents and tarps to people in need by those bureaus because of fires.
And it was a day before the snowstorm.
And then it snowed 11 inches. And so and that was last Wednesday, right? Mm-hmm. And then we didn't have a show, you know, city council was kind of thrown for a loop. Everybody was deep in it. And by it, I mean snow. So come to this week's council meeting, wouldn't you believe that people kind of showed up and showed out for how terrible of an idea this tent ban is. And this was in person. It's like the hybridized council meetings. And they came, but it was like apparently during a comment period specifically for the Police Accountability Commission that had released a report. Maybe there was some miscommunication there, but Ted Wheeler had a little bit of an outburst. So let's listen.
You know, when you do that, it actually totally undercuts the rest of your argument.
I don't really care what you think.
Well, and as a result of your behavior, nobody really cares what you think either. Did you consider that possibility?
That's not true.
All right, next. We're going to go to virtual if you have one more outburst. And I don't care if you like me or not. That's not the point. The point is you are disrespecting other people who have put a lot of time and energy into the Police Accountability Commission, and you are being extremely disrespectful of their time and energy. And I don't know why you think your opinion is more important than theirs at this particular juncture. So if you want to stay on point, do not interrupt, do not disrupt the people who are trying to speak who signed up to testify on the police accountability report. I'm just asking you to be decent people. Can you do that? You're not sure. Okay, well, we'll find out. Next individual, please.
Next up, we have Rochelle Chase Miller.
Be they a police officer or a politician, they take on the obligation to work in the best interest of all citizens. Constance Wu said, public service is about serving all the people, including the ones who are not like you. But how does one represent those who are different from themselves? When decisions are based in paternalism and the presumption that the powerful know more about the needs of their constituents than the constituents themselves, leaders are not demonstrating accountability to those they serve. That's why commissions such as the Police Accountability Commission are so important. When cruelty is cloaked as tough love, for people we don't trust to participate in making the decisions that impact them the most, we are not being accountable. A lot of terrible actions have been justified by paternalism and supremacy. Colonization, slavery, residential schools, conversion therapy are all examples of those in power claiming to know what is best and forcing inhumane policy on the people they've dispossessed and reinforced by police and politicians. The same oppressive paternalism is present in Commissioner Gonzalez's decision to deny tents and tarps to unhoused people during freezing winter conditions, no less. The claim that denying shelter will help more than it hurts is not data-driven, and it is not humane. I'm coming back to the accountability.
Please do.
Let's see. It's easier when I'm not interrupted. Blankets and sleeping bags don't do a lot of good in the rain and snow without the ability to stay dry, and the idea that you solve a problem like tent fires by making cold people...
Folks, we'll take a 10-minute recess. We're in recess. We'll reconvene virtually.
And then the recording on the city council website goes into their like stock music where it's like boo-doo, 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 with the screen that's like city council will return in 10 minutes.
Spicy.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. Well, I don't really care what you think. That really undercuts your whole point as soon as you curse.
I wish I heard this before so I wasn't so triggered.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I mean, the speakers made great points.
I don't know if it's my hands sweating from being so annoyed or from the room.
It is hot in here.
That's that intersectionality of it all. You know, it's really sad that they can't see it. But yeah, Ted sounded like he
perturbed.
Yeah, he was on one.
Yeah, no, and there was somebody who like was like Ted Wheeler, and then it's like, well, now you just undercut your whole point. Do you feel like my impression is good? Sorry, not the time, but got it.
Yeah, that was a great, the speaker did make a great point, and again, like, pointed out that intersectionality of police brutality or police accountability, community needs, the ban on tents.
Right, it's this whole bureaucratic nitpicking, and like I totally understand it's like, hey, this is the time we set aside for the Police Accountability Commission, mm-hmm. but at the same time there's been no outlet or time for people to respond to this tent ban, and like Renee Gonzalez isn't even saying anything, you know, it's just sort of like Ted Wheeler barking back at people on his behalf, you know, for this really horrible idea. And like, anyway, what is going on in city council? You know what
well,
I mean?
But there's more in today's about city council. Yeah.
Well, this was last Friday, but there was a proposal from the Charter Commission. Remember, the Charter Commission has a phase two with other reforms for the city that can either be adopted by city council or put to the voters. One of those was something called a transparency advocate, which would have been in the auditor's office and kind of had more of that third party role of being somebody kind of like a liaison, making sure that people have the accountability in their government,
a watchdog, basically.
A watchdog, pitched as being very important as we switch to a new system of government, and being transparent, right? This was endorsed by the ACLU, League of Women Voters, Society of Professional Journalists. The record system, like, we don't have time to get into how bad the public record system is here, but the auditor brought it to city council, and they were like, oh, we didn't know about it. And we didn't see it, and you didn't give us enough time. And, you know, Simone Reedy, the auditor, is like, well, what do you mean? Like,
well, it's really, and just to, like, even more to emphasize, like, the cooperation and the time and the amount of work that went into the Transparency Act advocate, the Charter Review Commission and the auditors, like, the Charter Review Commission, they people work together. Like, these are two separate bodies, one representing the people, one representing, for lack of better words, you know, the interest of sure, the people, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, Renee is the auditor for the city, so city interest.
No, sorry, Reedy.
Sorry, that's my. It's that one letter.
They're one
it's
letter.
One letter. Reedy, excuse me. Reedy has the interest of the city as well, sure, of the people. But the fact that these two entities collaborated together on this, that even opened up a position in the auditor's office.
Yeah.
Showing the auditors themselves saying we need this help as well, in order to make things better. And yeah, I want to take a piece from what Wheeler said basically about it. And this is from I think it's the Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just like ridiculous to me. Ted Wheeler said, and this is quote, and I'm emphasizing, I'm quoting this. Mayor Ted Wheeler said that if given the opportunities, Portland voters would probably approve the creation of a transparency advocate, which is why he didn't support the proposal. If something goes out to the voters and it's a proposal to increase transparency for the city of Portland and investigate elected officials, it's pretty certain it's going to pass, Wheeler said. Wouldn't you agree with me that it's important that we get this right? Wheeler raised concerns. Thank you. Raised concerns that if the proposal had not been properly vetted before voters passed it, the city could face challenges implementing the position or adjusting the advocate's duties retroactively. Reedy, who's again the city's auditor whose office would have this position in there, emphasized that the language in the proposal had been vetted by her office and legal staff to make sure that it would be implemented properly and that the proposal had received public engagement through the charter review process.
Can I give you insult to injury on this? So there's all of these things that the transparency advocate would do. What are city commissioners, chafing against? Oh, that it would sort of have investigative powers into us? Ugh, yikes, we don't like that. And so they're complaining, right? They're like, well, we haven't seen, nobody's gotten to talk about this. And it's like, well, that's kind of patently untrue because there's been this 2-year process with the Charter Commission. It's been put forward by all these people. It's been investigated. City Council indefinitely tables it. Dan Ryan pulls up a resolution that no one has seen, that has not been and basically takes all of the duties of that the transparency advocate would have, except for investigating city officials, and they unanimously pass assigning that to the city auditor. And the city auditor was like, I really don't appreciate, like, out of nowhere, something that no one has gotten to see, you assigning work to the city. Like, that is...
And this is exactly what good people don't make in politics, you know?
Yeah.
And this is... I mean, sure, there's the politics for the people, for the politicians, but this in itself should be like a pretty dry and cut position, you know? It's like the auditor, that's what you're doing. And yet there is all this politicking that gets involved with it. And it just, I don't know, for me personally, like really, just for me personally, as a person who sees things and has opinions about them, good people don't make it in politics for this exact reason. Mm. It's only people who do make it in politics, like, have to make a lot of there are some people who get attacked a lot, and then you have to wonder, why do they get attacked so much, right? Yeah. And again, I'm talking in the scope of local politics, because that's completely different. It's a whole different beast than federal politics. But if now she says, well, I don't want to, you're not letting me do my job, like the city council is basically not letting the auditor do their job.
Yeah.
It's an important job, and they're asking for help. Like, they're asking, here's a position that would be good. This is what we need. This
here's
is what
all
the
of
city
these
needs.
Advocacy groups, these civic bodies in our city that also support this idea, that help to shape it. And you're just disregarding all of it.
I just wonder what...
Because, and just that the rationale is like, well, yeah, it says it's going to increase transparency, so if you put it in front of people are going to vote for it. And that's bad for some reason.
City Council, they lost me when they said that there's good camps and bad camps for people to live in, which is like, that was just... It makes no sense that these people have any power. Like, it's like if you work somewhere, right? Like, these people, this is a job that they have, right? The mayors, the commissioners, and it's like, your constituents should be able to have access to what you're doing. Like, there should be that transparency.
Yeah.
And what are you scared about? Like, What are you scared that people are going to find out if we go down a rabbit hole? Like, you know, what are you in cahoots with the OLCC getting your bottles of bourbon for, you know, like what's going on? Like, what are you so scared about?
I mean, and
one
I don't
of
the things
about
the...
A lot of fishy stuff. Yeah. A lot of California real estate money. A lot of this 96%
discount
from snitchers for Rene Gonzalez's... downtown offices yeah. when you have people that when Rene Gonzalez the same person that got a 96% discount on their downtown office space is the same one that is taking tents away from people that are living on the streets
yeah because they might do a fire
with no Which, irony at all
yeah
maybe if, again I'll say it you give me 96%. I can take two people's rent.
Let me see.
What
let me
that?
See what I can get up $500
to save a soul. Hell yeah.
I mean, part of the transparency advocate proposal is also to deal with the fact in some ways that public records are so expensive to get.
Mm.
So there's a huge barrier to entry, whether you're a regular person trying to figure out something or you're a journalism organization.
Sure, that sounds
you know, it's only it's like your OPBs and your Oregon Lives that have the money, even you know, even they are strapped for cash mm-hmm. to spend the kind of money to find out what's really going on with city council. And but I mean to say something more positive, like with the new commission system, and I know that we have to be vigilant about how it's being implemented, there would not be the opportunity for a unilateral decision like Rene Gonzalez made.
Mm-hmm.
That would not happen with somebody that you elected. And that the, if that was something, for example, this the city administrator would not be able to do that unilaterally. And there would have to be at least, what, seven of the councilors
right.
to sign off on that kind of thing.
Oh, and it has to be more than half.
Right. Yeah. And so, like, that kind of major policy change that it's like, how do we even hold Rene Gonzalez accountable? Because he just got to make that choice for himself that has that huge impact on the way that the city works and the way that the city is trying to support people, you know? It's I'm so glad it passed. Oh my
yeah,
god.
Thank you for reminding us that
it shouldn't work that way.
Yeah, and it's not going to for very long.
No.
It's not going to for very long.
As much as and know that Wheeler is dragging his feet. Know that Ryan and
yeah,
Gonzalez
sure.
and everybody are dragging their feet. They're like, I don't know if we'll get it together by 2025. Seems kind of soon, you know? Maybe we should, let's kick it back to 2030 and actually do the Charter Commission again and see if however many voters want to vote for it, because then it'll be 10 years. Maybe we should just wait for 10 years to get it done, you know? And we can't wait. We need change now. We
King
need
Wheeler
to be able to hold people
here.
Accountable.
This is ridiculous, especially in the aftermath of everything that we've dealt with in the last three years, whatever, you know, 2 years, this is a time for rebuilding, you know? We're barely even scratching the surface of getting back to ourselves and whatever that means, right?
Yeah.
And there's so much community work. I mean, this is, how many civic organizations like signed on this, you know? And
yeah.
And the fact that the politicians are saying...
The politicians say, well, we didn't get to see
people
it.
People are going
to
like it.
It's going to be too transparent. So let's put it on a table indefinitely and sort of make up something on the spot that we're going to pass.
It's good.
That nobody's seen.
They're scared. It's good.
One other thing before we pivot, if that's okay.
Sure.
I wanted to mention that there was a public hearing on Wednesday as well showing strong criticism of this, you know, toe that Portland seems to be ready to dip into gunshot detection technology. We've talked a lot about ShotSpotter on this show. They've expanded it to other open proposals. The people are not for it.
Mm-mm.
Deeply not for it. And you and I were talking about this in prepping for the show last night, where, you know, it's not only that it is, you know, another level of surveillance on vulnerable communities. And with the history in Portland, we know that those are going to be like racially marginalized, low income people who are now being extra surveilled by their government should this go into place. But it also like we do not have evidence that it works. Not even in decreasing gun violence, but even dispatching police officers to where gun violence has happened. There is evidence that ShotSpotter, which is the one that, you know, brought this to the city and like courted members of this oversight group to try to get it in front of city council for the police bureau, there's like evidence that it's a deep waste of time. Mm. And not to say that, like, you know, but like a waste of taxpayer resources that doesn't decrease gun violence, waste police time to even prosecute cases that do exist, to find more of, you know, prosecute more gun violence. And then it also is over surveillance. So there's so much things about it that that are like, you know, pushing back, and people, like, the people are not for it.
Mm-hmm.
Can I read you a quote from,
please,
this
yes.
is from KGW quoting Ajay Amachi from Freedom to Thrive, who said the interest in the technology feels like a misplaced response to gun violence. They said, quote, many people feel powerless right now to curb gun violence. The lack of agency can cause some to seek out just about any solution or action that makes them feel more in control. The drive to implement gunshot detection technology is clearly based on this emotional panic that people want to act right now. Other people are saying, like, we need a plan. Not to say that gun violence isn't a problem or that we shouldn't do something about it, but can we? This doesn't seem like it. It's a waste of money. It doesn't work. And it represents significant surveillance of marginalized communities.
Oh, it shows what the interests are of the people that are for this, you know?
Yeah.
Is their interests restorative justice? Is their interest community safety? Or is it getting the people... And, you know, and again, like, getting the bad guys, you can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know, I think of how many times I hear, I don't know, like, fireworks or something, and I get my little panic, you know, and I,
yeah.
And I'm a person, you know, so I can, like, look and assess and see if I see, like, you know, if I see someone, like, their car backfired, or if there's, like, just someone with I don't know, whatever thing's making noises, or if it's someone that has a weapon, you know, like, I, you know, God willing, be able to make that difference, and am able to make that difference because it happens pretty often.
Yeah.
And but this machine wouldn't be able to. And then I just think of, and again, this is like, what if isms? I don't know if that's a thing, but I just see the scenario of like a car backfiring, or like, you know, something that sounds like a gunshot or gunfire, and then I don't know, the cops show up, and then there wasn't anyone, you know, there wasn't any shots that were laid out, but they see someone who quote unquote fits the description.
Yeah.
And then what happens? How does that escalate? What kind of, and you know, like all these things are, I don't know, they're theories to some people, their lived experience to others. And these type of suggestions, they breed a culture behind them, you know? And we don't have to go too far in history or in our own, you know, city or town or district or county or state to see what happens when these kind of things like come into fruition, you know? And so, I don't know, we could be, and again, taxpayers, I mean, between that art tax and the gun tax, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to address gun laws, I think that it is a big problem, and it's a complex problem, you know, that probably requires multiple different solutions.
Yeah.
We don't have strong evidence that more police represents the kind of change that people are looking for. I mean, the super lax gun laws in this state might have something to do with it.
There's a lot of things.
There's a lot of things going on. But we should take a short break, I believe.
Sure. Yes, I can do that.
We're going to take a little musical break. We're going to come back for our second half, which is when you can call in for our community question. This is The Gap on KBOO Portland. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
If you want me to stay, I'll be around today to be available for you to see. I'm about to go, and then you'll know for me to stay, I got to be me. You'll never be in doubt, that's what it's all about. You can't take me for granted and smile. Cause I promise I'll be gone for a while. When you see me again, I hope that you have been the kind of person that you really are now.
And this is The Gap on KBOO Portland. We are back. I'm Althea. Tammy is here with me. It is time. Community question time. That is right. now is the time to call in to talk to us, 503-231-8187. Our topic of the day, how do you make up with someone after hurting their feelings? Mm. How do you get back with someone after that happens? Give us a call, 503-231-8187.
I don't even know. Someone hurts my feeling, they're dead to me.
Okay.
And I'm trying to change that.
Yeah.
I really am
talking about this.
I'm really trying to change that, which is why this is an honest question. No wrong answers at all.
Yeah.
How do you make up with someone after you've hurt them, after they've hurt you?
Yeah.
You're like, that's a lot of what's that process? I'm taking notes too. That's my pen.
That's good Foley.
503-231-8187 is the phone number.
Yeah, how do you do it? You know? Do you want to know my strategy?
I would love to. I'm taking...
Get the pen out and make sure you click it to on. I think one thing that I've, learned over the years, because one thing about me, I don't like hurting people's feelings. Mm. It makes me feel awful. And so I will sometimes get stuck in the place of so someone let me know that I hurt their feelings and I didn't mean to do it. And it was, my own, that I had a blind spot in that particular area. And it was hurting somebody's feelings or rubbing them the wrong way. Or I did this thing, that hurt them. And this is usually when I didn't do it on purpose.
Mm.
There have been times Althea, you were kind of mean about that. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I shouldn't have been. I'm sorry. But especially when it's oh no, I hurt you and I didn't even know that I was hurting you. There's this anxiety of I want to get back in your good graces as soon as possible. What can I do?
Huh.
And that kind of the point that I'm trying to get to is that I think it's important to divorce yourself from that context of immediately trying to bombard this person with how much you care about them or no, I didn't mean to hurt. Oh, because that can make it worse in my experience. And as hard as it is, sometimes people need a little bit of space from you, which is a little counterintuitive for me. I'm like, what if we just looked in each other's eyes for the next 3 hours and then you decided that I'm a good person and you're not mad at me anymore, but yeah, giving somebody, I think, a little bit of space to, decompress from your interaction, letting them know that, you heard what they have to say and totally understand that that would hurt them, And sometimes it takes a little bit of time to... Sometimes you're fighting in your own brain where you're like, I didn't mean to hurt you. I didn't do that. Come on, no.
Wow. That's... You know what this is making me think of?
Hmm.
It might be heavy, I'm sorry. But racism.
Okay, talk to me.
When someone says, something racist or a microaggression or something that's anti-black or something, and either someone else calls... quote unquote calls them out on it or they catch themselves where I'm just like, whoa, why would you say that?
You know?
And I feel everything you just described, that's what I see in people. They're their eyes get a little wide and they do the thing where they get tight.
Yeah.
And then a little bit, sometimes they start a little bit, eyes start glistening.
Yeah.
A little tears, start.
Yeah.
And it's all about them and how sorry they are and how they want to bombard you with how much that wasn't their intention and stuff.
Yeah.
When really, all you need is just kind of a little space for the situation, a little zaza, a little something, and you come back and then you come back to it. But, and then again, it makes me think of when something happens between friends and it's just something that can happen between any friends, regardless if they're racialized or not.
Mm.
But when when microaggressions have, because they happen, best of friends, not people don't, how do you come back from that also? Because then, and not think of this person as okay, this person might be low-key racist and I just have to watch out for them,
Mm-hmm.
And that, that's what that brought up for me, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like the idea of having a little bit of space because I've also had to learn to do that, to give people space. But we've got getting some callers in.
Yeah, 503-231-8187 if you want to talk to us about how to make up with someone after hurting their feelings, because I think it's an important skill to have. And one of the things that Tammy was just saying that makes me think is, what are you apologizing for? Are you apologizing to be forgiven, or are you apologizing in order to like show your remorse, you know, like, is it for you or is it for them? And I think in a lot of instances, like that immediate desperation to like apologize or not even to like sit with what they said, but just see that you wronged somebody in some way. I think so, an important thing that, you know, if somebody's wronged you, it's like, I need you to like reflect on the fact that that hurt and that sucked what you said to me. And I don't know that you have reflected on that. If I just told you and you're like, I'm sorry, I would never do that to you. Oh my God. You know, like you got to digest it a little bit. And if you're going to apologize, it should be that you understand what you did and you don't want to do it again, you know, rather than I'm apologizing. So you forgive me. And then this is over and I don't have to feel this way anymore.
Whoop, there it is. We have a caller on the line. Are you with us?
Yes.
You are loud and clear.
Cool.
Love to hear your input.
Yeah, I guess my quick little blurb is that that it's something that I think is nice and catchy and snappy is, it costs nothing to apologize. It's free to apologize.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you don't mean it.
Do you feel like there's something that should go with apology then, if it costs so little?
You say if there's something that should go with an apology?
Well, I guess there's like a different perspective of like, it should be easier to apologize than people think it is.
Yeah. I mean, I think what you all have already been talking about is pretty, you know, there's just a bunch of ego and stuff involved. Mm-hmm. With like, you know, oh, I don't want to, you know, I didn't do anything wrong, or I don't want to be a bad person or whatever. But like, I don't know. Yeah, my go-to is really to just, even if I think that, you know, whatever this so-and-so is upset at me about is like, even if I think it's kind of BS, or even if it's legit real and I'm just like, I don't understand. It's always good to just buy yourself some time to like, for not just yourself, but also the other person to like sit and reflect on things before it's like, well, you did blah, blah, blah. And you know, everybody gets all heated and stuff.
Yeah.
And in their own heads.
Yeah. Figuring out like, what you're trying to defend, you know?
Mm.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Well, thank you so much for bringing that up. Bringing up what you're trying to defend. I like that. I like that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You have a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you. You too.
If other folks want to call, please. We are talking about how do you make up with someone after hurting their feelings? What makes a good apology? Maybe that's kind of a supplementary question. 503-231-8187.
I'm learning so much. What are you trying to defend? Interesting. I'm trying to think if I've ever had to apologize, and I can't quite think about a time.
Folks, we found one. Someone who's never done anything wrong. This is huge. She's never even needed to apologize. Please do give us a call. We're enjoying this conversation. 503-231-8187. Give us a call. Let us know. What do you think? How do you make up with someone after hurting their feelings? What makes a good apology? Let us know. 503-231-8187. To continue, like, so right, you got to listen, you got to understand, and it may take you time to digest. Give somebody a little bit of space. I think that's important. This is my other thing that I think of is, you know, doing something nice for them to symbolize an apology. Not in terms of like love bombing or like, you know, mailing a bunch of flowers and chocolates to their house, but like, hey, let's have like a low commitment hangout, probably in your neighborhood. Let's go get, you know, like a drink that you like. Let's go get coffee. I'll buy, you know, and to, you know, reconnect in like a low commitment kind of way, I think is helpful when you're coming back from that kind of thing.
We have Harry on the line. Harry, how are you?
Oh, greetings, and thank you for taking my call. My assessment of it is, well, you have to make amends.
Mm.
I mean, if you did something wrong, you have to make amends, and that's restitution, whatever like that. An apology sometimes just doesn't work because they're just words. You can lie You know, you're not really sorry, you know, but what would prove that you're really, you know, you want to apologize, you know? When you say, I'm sorry, what does that mean? Mm. I'm sorrowful.
Mm-hmm.
Not that, okay, I'm glad, I mean, what happened to you? I'm sorrowful, but, you know, but so you have to make amends. Gifts, I don't know what how else you would want to make amends, but it's up to you to figure out what it is.
Yeah. What do you do to restore the relationship?
Oh, as for restoring relationship, sometimes it can't be restored.
That's
true. And remember, I mean, it got so bad. Why should I deal with someone who thinks like that or said those words? And it actually comes out of your mouth, and then you couldn't stop it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so sometimes it can't. But I would suggest, you know, I would suggest you still have to make some type of amends.
I think you're right about that. Thank you, Harry.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Have a good one.
That's interesting because, you know, sometimes, yeah, just, and even just having that closure, that's the word I think comes to mind. We have Camillo on the line. Can you hear us?
Yes.
How hi, Camillo.
Hi. I think the first thing you have to consider is the point of view that you're examining the question from. Is it the perpetrator's point of view or the victim's point of view?
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me like you're more concerned about what the perpetrator does.
Well, what do you think from the victim's point of view?
I think the first thing that you need to be concerned about as the victim is that you don't close your heart, that you don't become reactive, that you don't let this get inside of you and cause you to be hardened in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to think about why you would want to react that way when that's really not going to do anything for you. And I don't think that means that you have to be open to that person, but you have to be open to the potential for the damage that it can do to you if you react.
Mm. Wisely said.
I'm in that situation now with my sister.
Oh, really?
Because we're having a huge conflict over our mother's trust. She died in July, and my sister threatened to sue me and charged me with elder abuse when I was the person who was taking care of my mother for the past 11 years. And, we're approaching having a settlement about it now. But she was essentially, I think, trying to find some kind of fulfillment of her envy and jealousy of me, believing that I was the privileged child and I had advantages that she didn't. And there's 16 years between us, so we've really grown up in different families.
Mm-hmm.
But this is an attitude that she's had, I believe. And, you know, if we make a settlement and somehow there's a possibility of us having some reconciliation, I would have to think twice about it, because what this does is it reveals something. It mm-hmm. tells you something about a person's attitude and feeling in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to have a reconciliation, you would need to know that person is really sincerely addressed that in themselves, and it doesn't require an apology or spending time together, because we've been through this before. We were actually in therapy together with somebody.
Oh, wow.
And
sorry,
it hasn't really changed anything yet.
Well, it sounds like you're putting in the work, and I commend you for it, and I hope that you get a resolution soon.
Thank you.
You take care of yourself, Camillo.
Okay.
Love hearing bye-bye. From you. Take care. Man, yeah, that's a good, you know, once that trust is gone, what did Lady Gaga say?
I don't
she
know.
Said, trust is like a mirror. Oh. Once you break that mirror, you can still see the cracks in that. Well, she used bad words. We have Grand on the line. Grand, can you hear us?
I can. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. My thought is first to inject some levity. I think it was Dimitri Martin who said, "Apologizing and saying I'm sorry are not the same."
I like that.
when my my buddy's mom dies, I can say, "Man, I'm so sorry." That's way different than apologizing for his mom's death.
Yeah.
But I think what directs my worldview is, you know, I'm a pastor, and I think of Philippians 2:3 all the time, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in everything count others' needs as more important than mine. Mm-hmm. And so even before, you know, just tossing out cheap words, I need to think about my heart. Am I putting other people's needs before my own in this issue? Am I repenting? Not just saying I'm sorry to you know, dismiss an issue where I'm at fault, but am I actually repenting and changing my behavior if I'm at fault and need to apologize?
Mm-hmm.
I love what you said about reflecting and owning what you've done first without throwing out words just to dismiss an issue. I think talk is cheap, and I love the phrase, show me that you're sorry.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing to add in here, is that changed course of action in the future.
Absolutely. But hey, thank you so much. That's all I had. I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thanks. Yeah. You too. Appreciate the call.
For sure. Bye-bye.
Look, love that. And we have, hold on, I'm just trying to get the lines right. All right, drop this one and get in this one. And do we have Warren on the line?
Yep, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi. Coming in loud and clear.
Hi. It's a long list of dudes calling in here, it seems like.
Sure is. gotta get them in my phone line.
Hello.
It's a great conversation, thank you. And I just wanted to offer, well, the last guy said, you know, offering what people need from you, and I think that helps me think about your own role when there's a conflict or somebody's hurt emotionally. It helps me to think about who I need to be for that person or for that social situation. If there's an apology required or some sort of resolution there, to just drop any idea that, you know, it's a transaction and I'm owed something, or I need to figure out what I, you know, how much I owe this person, and more just like, there's something I can be here to make this right, and mm-hmm. I should try and become that. Now, that can become toxic too if you're constantly trying to please everybody and you're wearing yourself out doing that. But I find that if you're grounded emotionally and you're okay with just moving on, that it helps to just try and think of yourself as offering something for that person. And hopefully everybody is in different points in their life where maybe they're vulnerable at one moment and somebody stepped in and did something for them that they needed, and then at other points you're the strong one or whatever. Mm. And you can do that for other people.
I like that. Mm. Thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, have a good one.
All right.
Ooh. Gotta step in for some, you know, gotta be the change you want to be in the world.
There you go.
You gotta, but you know what? How can we be it if we cannot even see it?
Whoa.
Got him.
Write that down. Did
get in writing.
Did Lady Gaga say that?
No,
or?
That was me. That was original.
Oh, wow.
We have, Annalise, can you hear us?
Yes, I do.
Hey, hi. How are you? You on there?
Yes, good morning. Well, it's very short time, but what can you do about somebody that will not accept any responsibility for their actions?
That's tough.
That's my problem with a member of my family.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes when they trigger the offense somehow and you say something about it, then they accuse you or me in this instance, they accuse me of repeating the past by going back to it. But in reality, they are the ones that. So anyway, that has been my problem for a long time with my family member.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I appreciate you calling. I mean, I think you can't, it's not dredging up the past if the past hasn't been resolved, you know?
Mm.
Right. And there's a saying that I just heard recently, that the past and the present always can somehow collide with each other. And that's what happens to me when I get insulted in some way. But I've decided to love my sister. It's my sister, too, just like the other caller. But
oh, wow.
I decided to to just love her unconditionally until it comes. So anyway,
thank you.
That's what I have been trying to resolve for many years. Problem.
Well, I wish you all the best. I think, you know, knowing what you can give, what you can be to that other person while still feeling, you know, strong and safe in yourself, I think is important. But I wish you all the best. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Thank you for the program.
For sure. Oh man, this has been, I literally broke the phone. This is how many
she just held up a button to me, folks.
we won't be able to get caller.
We're going to able to squeeze you guys in.
Will, I'm so sorry. Please,
we take it off the air, maybe?
We can take it off the air.
Okay, we'll try to pick up the phone in a second.
Redirect all the fellas into my phone line. Ew. I'm kidding.
We want to thank everybody for listening to The Gap. Really appreciate the conversation today. Maybe this is a topic we can revisit in the future because I think it's something that people have something to say about.
As an Aries, I was triggered a little. But okay. As a human being who's trying to become more decent, loving, and generous with my self, I learned a lot. And I really liked, I think it was Camilo said, try to figure out what you're defending.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, I think that's good too. Just before we go, reminding folks, kbu.fm/thrills, check out all our special programming coming up this month. 24 hours International Women's Day programming on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, March 8th. And then we also got the Multilingual Marathon the Thursday after that on the 16th. Check it out.
It's going to be fun. I'm excited for that. I'm excited for all of it.
It's going to be good.
Yes.
kbu.fm/thrills. Check us out, kbu.fm/thegap. And we'll see you next week.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Portland on 90.7 FM, streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
KBOO is hiring a full-time web coordinator.